not a racer, what am I?
Well, you're my best friend. All you gotta do is find a part to fix your game. Everything goes back to the way it was.
But where are we gonna find that?
The internet!
What?
Wanna buy a Pac-Man Fever lunchbox? Wanna buy a case of vintage tube socks? Wanna buy the kind of stuff you throw?
Hello and welcome to Pixels in the Animation. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me is TV's Mr. Neil.
I is more powerful than dark vapor. And Mike doesn't get that reference.
Oh, I get it. I was going to say, I don't drink hot coffee like Darth Helmet.
Mike didn't get that reference.
Yeah, no, probably not. There's a lot of things I don't get nowadays. There were a lot of things I didn't get in the old days either, so... Oh, boy. I'm assuming it's a Family Guy reference.
No.
Thank God. I hate that show. All right, we are here to talk about Ralph Breaks the Internet, Wreck-It Ralph 2. And I can tell you are pretty resigned about this.
I had such high hopes for this, and this movie has no... direction to it. It's like, what was even the plot of this? It seemed to like shift from one idea to the next, and I was like, come on, movie, pick a lane and stay in it. What are you doing?
It's I hate to say it, and not that Disney needs to do this, but this is a cash grab. It had to have been. Mm-hmm. Look at what they did with the film. Ralph Breaks the Internet. I mean, he goes and does something, and for half a second, the internet was gone. And then when they get to the internet in the beginning of the film, ooh, look at that goggle. They must sell a lot of glasses there. Or, oh, hey, there's eBoy or eBay or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then they talk about the dark web and the viruses. And it was like, hey, let's make a film about the internet. Let's be Alex Winter.
Let's make the emoji movie. It's just, it's a whole movie of, like, internet memes.
Yeah.
Internet memes and product placement for the web. eBay's in this. They had, like, all of the virus protection programs in it. Google was in it.
Yep.
Oh, my God. They didn't have like, the Vine stars, but they pretty much had that. They had Wreck-It Ralph become a Vine star for part of the movie. For as long as the movie could maintain its attention on that before it ADHD kicked in and went on to something else.
What I found interesting about the whole Wreck-It Ralph is a YouTube video, Vine, whatever you want to call it. They specifically created BuzzTube, and they even mention YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why not just say he's become a YouTube star, or like you said, a Vine star, or whatever kind of thing, one of those, you know...
It must have been they couldn't get that product, because a Vine star is different than someone on YouTube. I do know that website specifically is known for having very, very short videos. That's the whole point of that website. And that's why I have no familiarity with it. I have no interest to go there and like just absorb memes for like 5 seconds at a time.
Yeah, no. It's just... I don't know.
So the movie starts out where you got Vanellope and Ralph kind of buddying around, you know, having a good time. But Vanellope wants something more, and, you know, she wants some new tracks to race on. So Ralph makes a new track, sort of. He kind of makes like a shortcut through one of the tracks. And the player who's playing the game breaks the wheel off. So they have to buy a new wheel, so they have to go to eBay. This takes like 20 minutes to even get there.
Yeah, I know.
It's like the plot doesn't even start. What there is of the plot doesn't start for like a half hour. And, you know, they follow like a pop-up for like one of these web cash programs. Like you go find like a goodie in a game and you get like some loot for it. And there was some absurd... bounty on like this car from a game. Like nobody would spend, at least I hope nobody would spend, you know, five figures for a fucking car in a video game that's only going to be online for maybe 5, 6, 7 years before they turn the servers off.
Yeah, they meet up with JP Spamly, and he's like, you know, get cash playing video games and yada yada yada. I think my favorite new character is Knowsmore with the search bar. He was cool. I liked him.
Yeah, he was all right. I didn't really have any attachment to him. He was like the only character that didn't offend me. I'll say that.
So how many of the characters actually offended you?
The rest of them. Actually, the one chick, I don't remember her name, but the kind of cool chick in the death race game, she was okay.
Oh, that's Wonder Woman, actually.
Yeah, I saw that.
Shank. Yeah, it's Gal Gadot that plays the voice of Shank. I like Shank, and I like Yes. The one reason why I like Yes is because that's Taraji P. Henson. And she was in Person of Interest, so anything she does is okay with me, because I love that show and I love her character on that show. I don't know. I watched this twice, not in the same day, but when I first bought it, I watched it, and I watched it obviously right before this, and I still feel that the first film was slightly, if not almost, more so better than this.
It was much better.
Like, I see what they were trying to go for with all the character direction, with Sugar Rush being shut down and having to have Felix and Calhoun do something so they become foster parents and all of that. I understand that. That's great. That's interesting. That's, you know, not putting a full extra plot in the movie with their character. They're just there kind of like on the sidelines a little bit. The main focus, obviously, is Ralph and Vanellope's. I almost said Penelope. The main focus is on their friendship and the breakup of the friendship kind of thing. Like, she wants other things. She wants more, and he really doesn't. He wants to stay in his little bubble there. And then, obviously, at the end, they come together and they're friends again and whatever.
Yeah, but. The thing about Ralph's neediness, it was sort of throughout all the film, but they really didn't emphasize it until like the final act of the movie. It was like suddenly Ralph has these attachment issues and he can't let her go. And it was like, where was this for like the first 2/3 of the movie? I don't remember this. And it just turns into like this allegory of a friend moving away, which is not as big a deal these days as it would have been like 30 years ago when your friend moves away and it's like, oh, if I keep in contact with this person, I'll have to be a pen pal. And, you know, that's a lot of work to keep up a friendship through letters, through the United Postal Service. Whereas today, like if somebody moves away, you're like, well, I'm still friends with them on Facebook. What's the big deal? You know, it's not really that big of a problem. And so it didn't resonate with me that way. I guess kids would still have that, detachment issue with their friends moving away, I guess. But my problem with it was that it took so long to even get there. And it just kind of seemed like it was forced into the movie. Yeah. And there's the whole part where he just completely crosses the line. Like, no sane person would do this. He goes and gets a virus and infects the game with it so that Vanellope would get bored and leave. Yeah. And it was just like, it was so forced and unrealistic, and the explanation for why they had to get her out really quick was because she's not part of the game code. So so if they reset the game, she's going to get deleted. And I'm like, okay, is Bob and Enzo going to show up here? What the hell?
There are problems with it. I still enjoyed it, though. It's not the best film. Mm. I love a lot of the references. I love the one specific joke during a certain scene where they're like, "Yeah, she's from the other studio."
Yeah,
we don't know what she's saying.
The Disney part was actually the best part of the whole movie. It was like, okay, this movie's finally picking up, and it's gone.
Yeah. I've read that there are supposed rumors that they're going to do a Disney Princess Wreck-It Ralph kind of thing.
if they can
or
keep
something,
if they can keep that up for like 90 minutes, that part of the movie, that would be just fine.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of funny that the Disney princesses all hung out and they're all like catty and airheaded, and it was really funny.
Yeah, that was probably one of, if not the best part of the film. Like I said, I enjoyed, you know, some parts of it. And then, like, by the time, you know, he gets to, you know, the point of the viruses, I'm like, I know exactly where this is going to go. It's going to be, you know, especially an insecurity virus. I mean, yeah. I knew exactly where that was going to go.
Pardon me for being pedantic, but when they go from the virus looking for a computer insecurity to an emotional insecurity, I was like, oh, come on. You equivocated there, movie. Come on.
I'm trying to see who voiced the insecurity virus, because I know I've heard that voice before. Oh, it was, well, duh, it was John DiMaggio.
Oh.
That's Arthur, the insecurity virus. So the Disney princesses are pretty much at least all of the, at least two, I think, were at least the classic voice actors that we know.
Yeah.
Obviously, Little Mermaid was Jodie Benson.
Mm-hmm.
And Jennifer Hale did both Cinderella and Aurora, a.k.a. Sleeping Beauty.
I like that they made fun of the fact that Disney movies tend to be musicals, and Vanellope was like, what the hell was that? When they just busted out into song.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was funny. And then, you know, we get the scene where she eventually finds her song. Obviously, her song is not exactly Disney princess style. Like you said, I think the Disney princess scene is probably the best scene out of here, because they're like, does this happen to you? Does this? And she's like, no. Why would that happen to what? And then they go down the line and they get to an answer where she can finally say yes. And then they're like, oh, she is one of us. Oh God, where's Joan Osborne when you really need her?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I don't think after seeing this two times, it's not high on my watch list.
No,
I saw it. It's a decent movie. It's not Double Dragon, but it's not what's a good video game movie? I can't think of one.
ironically, Street Fighter. Just because it's an awful movie, but it is so funny for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah. It's like, this is, and I know normally for those listening, normally I'm the one guy that I do not compare animation with live at. Like, somebody says, who are your favorite Batman, or who played your favorite Batman? I'm like, are you talking about cartoons or movies? Because I don't put Michael Keaton in with Kevin Conroy. They're completely separate. And obviously Kevin Conroy is like the Christmas star of Batman voices. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things where I would put this somewhere between Double Dragon and Street Fighter. The first movie is way better than all three. I don't know where they can go from here. Like,
I know
there's rumors, like I said, about the Disney princess things. Apparently John C. Reilly, who voices Ralph, has some sort of idea where Ralph and Vanellope go into space. I don't know how that's going to work, if it ever does happen. I feel like a Wreck-It Ralph 3 is going to sadly turn into what Tron Ascension turned into. That Disney is just going to abandon the project altogether.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Maybe
I really want to see Tron Ascension.
Damn maybe it. We can finally get that video game equivalent of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where it's like some kind of weird noir story that just happens to involve a bunch of video game stars.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. But, you know, I was at least happy that we got a movie with Sonic the Hedgehog where he actually looks and sounds like Sonic the Hedgehog, unlike a certain upcoming movie starring Sonic the Hedgehog.
Good. Yeah, we should probably talk about that.
I don't want to spend money on that.
I won't. I'm not saying we should talk. I'm saying we should talk about. I don't think we've talked about the fact that there is a quote unquote CGI live action, whatever it is, Sonic film coming.
Mm-hmm.
No. If the entire history of video game films has taught us anything, please stop making them. I mean, I still enjoy Super Mario Brothers for what it is and the time that it was made, but I know a Super Mario Brothers 2 is never going to happen. First of all, there's no one in Hollywood that can repeat what Bob Hoskins did, even though he hated that role. Second of all, the only video game franchise that I think can be done for decent films, and I'm one of those defenders of this one because I just am, because I love the franchise and the gaming community. They could do multiple Need for Speed films with different characters, different settings. It doesn't have to be the characters that were in the 2014 film. It doesn't have to continue that story because Need for Speed is so vast and the worlds are so different and the games are all so different. You could make decent Need for Speed films. Not that they're ever going to do that again, but video game movies just have never worked.
Well, part of the folly of it is that a lot of the classic video games are kind of inspired by movies anyway. So it's like, why isn't there a Contra movie? Well, there kind of already is. It's called Aliens.
Yeah. You know,
or like Need for Speed. I think there already is a Fast and the Furious franchise. So,
okay. Yes, there was. Okay. Fast and the Furious came out in 2001. Need for Speed, the games were around a lot earlier. I would say
that's true. But I'm saying it would be kind of a redundancy.
Yeah. Well, unless there aren't going to be any more Fast and the Furious films, which I think Fast 9 is on hiatus or is on back burner or something. I don't know. I haven't kept up. But Wreck-It Ralph 2 or Ralph Breaks the Internet or whatever the hell you want to call it, it's okay. I mean, it's worth seeing just to see Sonic in with the rest of them.
But Sonic's in the first movie. You could see him there.
He's a billboard, though. I will say I wish Tapper had a larger part, only because that's Maurice LaMarche voicing him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the next one they can go to the 4chan forums and see. You know, that's an interesting thing, though, with this film. You know, they're all about, oh, the hearts get you money, the hearts, the hearts, the hearts. And then when Ralph gets super depressed and everything else because of how bad the virus is,
mm-hmm.
He ends up going into the comments section, which he hadn't seen before. And like Yes says, you should never look at the comments, baby. It's not.
Ralph actually goes into the dark side of the internet.
Yes,
Ralph exactly. Meets Mr. Medicare.
I know this has been short, folks, but we were never going to spend a hell of a lot of time on this. Like Neil said, the plot is... I don't want to say it's very straightforward. It's very bumpy along the way, but it's very predictable. And
the giant Ralph, by the way, I saw that coming like 5 minutes ahead of time. That's how predictable it is.
Yeah.
They're all going to merge together, I bet. And yep, that's exactly what happened.
Well, you know, you have to have a Donkey Kong reference in there somewhere.
Yeah, it definitely was a Donkey Kong reference. It was more of a King Kong reference, actually. Yeah,
it is, but I was trying to keep it to video games. And
the real question is, would you rather see pixels? I'd have to think about that.
No, I think we're good. We've got 3 episodes after this one. We're fine. This show is ending at 100. There's no way I'm changing. Pixels. I forgot about that. What is that even about? Oh, God, I don't even want to ask that question. What is it even about? I honestly forgot all about it, because the only thing I can remember off the top of my head that's a pixel is the Google Pixel 3 or whatever it is.
Adam Sandler is like a video game expert who fights off an incoming invasion of aliens who've taken the guise of like video game characters.
Bud. Yeah, the only thing I remember... about this was the giant Pac-Man thing eating the San Francisco Bay Bridge, or the Golden Gate Bridge, I should say. Oh, God. Adam Sandler. Oh, it's Adam Sandler and Kevin James. Great.
Yeah, my favorite duo.
Oh, look. Olaf's in this. Well, there's one Disney reference.
Oh, yeah, he was. Oh, we maybe speak about the cameos that were in this, not just the Disney princesses, but
right.
C-3PO was in this. Oh, they had in the Disneyland, they had just all of the franchise. It's like, here's Marvel, here's Star Wars, here's everything we bought, you know. And then of course there is a cameo by Stan Lee.
That cameo was amazing, though. Yeah, there was a lot of things in here, and it was so cool. I mean, like you said, the Star Wars. I figured that because obviously it is Disney, and they do go to the, you know, the Disneyland part of the thing. I'm like, oh, that means the stormtroopers are going to be after them, and lo and behold,
mm-hmm. And they kind of replicated the scene from the original Star Wars where the droids are hiding and they're going around knocking on doors trying to find them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was funny. What else? What else? The animation was good, I thought. I mean, the combination of the video game style with, you know, animation was interesting.
Some of the animation was kind of like herky jerky, but I think they were doing it on purpose to kind of make it look a little stop motion-ish. Mm-hmm. Like some of the avatars, you know, the people, the representation of the actual users that are in the internet, like the way they were animated was kind of like really, like I said, like a stop motion character.
Yeah. Like when the people went up to the search bar and then they got sent on their way, I always felt from the times that I had seen this, they're blockheads. They're blockheads from Gumby is what reminded me of, honestly, because sometimes they'll show in the film the actual real people that are in the real world that use the avatars, but the avatars themselves, like, it's just a square version of themselves. And I don't know if that's a allegory to having a message about people using the internet who are just squares from Squaresville.
I don't know. They make a Disney Infinity reference in this at all, is it too late for that?
It might have been too late. The only Infinity reference I saw was Buzz with Infinity, you know, to Infinity and Beyond.
Yeah, but that's not really.
That's not a Disney Infinity. No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Are people even still playing Disney Infinity?
Last release, 2015. So it looks like it's kind of dead in the water.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Like, I tried playing it for a while.
Because it seemed like an obvious reference to make, just because you had, like I said, all of the Disney franchises in one place, you know, like Lucasfilm and Pixar and Marvel. I'm like, well, this is a good opportunity to do a Disney Infinity reference, and it's just not there.
Oh, you know what? They'll never do this, but now with the new deal, the brand new deal, Wreck-It Ralph 3 goes to Springfield, or the Springfield comes to the internet or something.
They can do that.
Basically do something to the point of that one episode of The Simpsons where Homer gets sucked into this wormhole and gets real-world, super claymation, you know which episode I'm talking about, right?
It was like a CGI Homer where they put him in the real world. They try to make him look as realistic as possible.
Yep. They can do something like that or whatever.
Or they can go to Quahog.
Yeah. they could do so much, but I don't think they are.
Yeah.
I think the film did okay, but
I'm sure it did all right, but it just wasn't the first movie.
Yeah, it just wasn't the first movie. Let's see. Well, yeah, it made its money back at least. Budget was $75 million. Box office was $528.3 million. So it made its money plus a little more. I don't know if that's gonna warrant a actual sequel, though.
You know what? There are so many problems with this movie, though. Like, for example, the whole eBay subplot was just driving me crazy because Okay, Ralph's got like a day to pay off his eBay win. But what happens if he doesn't pay it off? Well, it just goes to the next bidder. Who's the next bidder? Vanellope is, because they were outbidding each other. But yep. if she wins, not only does she get like a lesser price, but she gets a price that's like relative to the next person below her, which was like $300. So it would have like resolved a whole bunch of shit if they had just waited. And I'm like, come on, figure this out. But no, they never went there.
No. What I find interesting between the first and the second film, first film had a budget of $165 million and made a box office of $471.2 million. Second film didn't have all that much more money on the budget.
Yeah.
And it made, obviously, more. But, I don't know, man. I enjoyed it the first time. The second time around, I was actually looking for stuff not to like. And you're right. Some of the characters are... like the whole Dan the neck guy worm, the underground dude. Okay, sure. You got a worm in your neck. Great.
Yeah. Actually, you know what they could have done is not concentrate so much on trying to get big stars. Like, I don't want to be a downer and say like don't cast people like Gal Gadot or anything, but you were talking about like having Maurice LaMarche in the movie more. Well, if they gave Maurice like a bigger part that like maybe didn't go to some big Hollywood star, like he could have been in the movie more. But like the way studios think, they're like, well, we got to get the big stars. We got to get someone who doesn't normally do cartoons. It's like, why?
Yeah, I mean...
Kids don't care. Kids don't know who these people are.
No. I mean, you like I said, you still had John C. Reilly, Sarah Silverman, and Jack McBrayer as the original characters. Obviously, Jane Lynch as Calhoun. Mm-hmm. New voice actors for this. I mentioned Taraj P. Henson as Yes. Alan Tudyk was Knows More, which was pretty cool. They had Alfred Molina as Double Dan, the half-worm virus creator. Mm-hmm. That was a little strange. Ed O'Neill was Mr. Litwack. Was he Mr. Litwack in the first one? I don't remember that.
I don't remember.
And then obviously John DiMaggio as the virus. Again, you know, John is huge in voice acting. He's not just... He is a voice actor kind of thing.
But they essentially gave him a bit part. Like, they're like, we'll get like a voice guy to do this tiny virus part. It's like, why? It's John DiMaggio. He's Bender.
Yeah, he could do half of the roles that are in this.
I mean, you've heard, what's his name talk about it? Rob Paulson. I'm glad you knew who I was talking about. You heard him complain about that. He's like, we were made for doing this. You could cast one of us to do like 10 roles, for Christ's sake. Yep.
I mean, you know, as much as it is whatever it is, you know, you look at half of the people that did anything in the 80s, the big Transformers, G.I. Joe, He-Man, She-Ra, Mask, any of that stuff, especially the Filmation voices and the Sunbow voices. I mean, some of those men and women were doing Peter Cullen is both Optimus Prime and Ironhide.
Mm-hmm. Frank Welker's like half the cast of Transformers.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, Dan Gilvezan did more than just being Bumblebee. Neil Ross did more than just being Springer or Hook or whatever. They all had at least three different roles fairly often. And, I understand they're going for a certain thing and they're going for whatever. It's like, this isn't that Chris Rock thing, though.
Yeah.
This isn't this movie, both of these films, Wreck-It Ralph 1 and 2. It wasn't that. It was more so the directors wanting a certain, like you said, a certain name. But there are big names in this, but it's not like, you know, Mel Gibson voicing a chicken who runs.
Yeah.
It wasn't that big.
I can understand like having one or two big name stars in it, but like no one's going to sit there and go like, oh, wow, Ed O'Neill's in this.
Yeah.
He's in it for like a scene.
I wonder if they ever had Mr. Litwack's wife on there, that it would be Katie.
That would be awesome.
That would be funny.
Ow.
All right, folks, I think that's going to do it for us. Before we get out of here, what do you got going on over at Decian?
Not a whole lot. Getting my Patreon account reactivated for some reason. It was deactivated, and I was like, hey, what the hell's going on? And they're like, oh, the problem's over. We're going to reactivate you. It's like, okay. Apparently, I violated some term of service, but they never could tell me what the hell happened. So I don't know. But over on the RavingHipster.com side, I have a new commentary for the first four episodes of Macross, which is like the alternative version of Robotech. And it happens to star Vic Mignogna and Monica Rial, which is kind of kinky given what's going on these days. And I'll have a special Easter show coming next weekend. And we're just going to kind of play it by ear. Ben's going to come in. We're going to do a couple movies. We got Red Sonja coming up, which is a B-movie favorite of mine. very low budget, but also kind of fun to watch.
Very cool, very cool. For Geekcast Radio Network, there's always stuff going on over at geekcastradio.com. For us here at Pixels and the Animation, we're going to do a merchandising episode next time around, where we had already talked about, I think, Mario and Zelda and a few of those major Nintendo things. Well, now we're going to talk about pretty much everything else, like Sonic and Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter and whatever.
Those times that Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter became part of the G.I. Joe line, I presume.
Oh, God. Don't remind me. Oh, it's just going to be crazy. And like I said, you know, there's three episodes left, and this show is complete. Yay!
All right.
Only took 7.5 years. Or whatever it is. Yeah, 7 years. Oh, God. If you guys want, check out Wreck-It Ralph 2 or Ralph Breaks the Internet, whatever the hell it's called.
Ralph Wrecks the Web.
Yeah, it's not the worst movie you could watch, but it's not the best either.
I don't know. I don't think it's going to age very well, just given the way that the internet changes on such a rapid pace that, like, in 5 years we're going to be like, what the hell is this? What are they even referencing?
It already hasn't aged well, because until you mentioned Vine and Vine Stars, while we're doing this, I had to actually go and look. I'm like, oh yeah, Vine.com. I remember that.
Yeah.
That was like this, like, I don't even think that's a thing. Like, when you think of social media right now, today in 2019, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, to a lesser extent, WhatsApp or Snapchat or whatever. I don't think of Vine anymore. And I remember when Vine hit big. I remember them. That was like huge 2 or 3, 4 years ago.
Yeah, like, imagine if you're watching a movie about the internet and they bring up MySpace or LiveJournal.
Or Friendster, which they did do in this.
Yeah.
It's too funny. All right, folks, keep helping us find those pixels in the animation, and we will catch you next time here on Pixels in the Animation.
Hey, kid! Wake up!
Ralph, what is wrong with you?
Start churning butter and put on your church shoes, little sister, because we're about to blast off!
Ralph, what is it you're trying to say?
We're going to the internet.
What?
Work it, make it, do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the internet!
Whoa, cool!
I've ever seen.
Welcome to the search bar. What can I help you find today? Umbrella. Umbrage. Umami.
No.
Noah's Ark. No doubt. Nordstrom Rack. Ergonomics. Urban Outfitters. Cool.
I'm pretty sure he's just trying to guess what you're gonna say.
My autofill is a touch aggressive today.
Let me try. Take me to a website that's super intense and really nuts.
Oh, I only found one result.
Oh, come on. Princesses and cartoon characters, barf.
Hey.
Whoa! Cool!
You're coming with us, kid.
Hi.
Whoa, whoa, ladies, I'm a princess too.
What kind of a princess are you?
Do you have magic hair?
No.
Magic hands?
No.
Do animals talk to you?
No.
Were you poisoned?
No.
Cursed?
No.
Kidnapped or enslaved?
No. Are you guys okay? Should I call the police?
Do people assume all your problems got solved because a big, strong man showed up?
Yes. What is up with that?
She is a princess.
Ralph breaks the internet.
Shouldn't it be Ralph wrecks the internet?
Yeah, since he is Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, but break the internet, it's like a thing.
Right, it's just wreck the internet kind of sounds better, doesn't it?
You're not wrong.
All right, let's get you plugged in.
Wifi. Or is it wifey?
Why don't we just go in?
And we are online. Whoa. Cool.
We are going to the internet.
Super excited. Just one minor thing. What is the internet? Oh, holy cow! Look at all this stuff.
Congratulations, you're a winner!
Really?
These 10 child stars went to prison. Ooh. Number 6 will amaze you.
That sounds interesting.
Ralph, come on!
Redirecting to eBay.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next item up, a black velvet painting of a sorrowful kitten.
Like it's looking into my soul.
Yeah, that one's really gonna haunt me for a while.
Whoa! Games!
Pancake. Milkshake.
Out of my way, kid. Pancake. Milkshake. Milkshake. I'm starting to understand why people like this game. Very zen. Milkshake.
Hey, look what I found! More pancakes!
Let's speed it up. Pancake, 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 pancake. Eat, little buddy. Eat.
Ralph, you might want to try feeding the kitty for a little while.
No, the kitty gets the milkshake. The bunny gets the pancake.
Pretty sure this is not going to be a long recording.
No.
Not that it should be, but, I mean, you know, we'll give it the time it deserves, but still, we're not going to be here for 2 hours talking about Wreck-It Ralph.
No.